Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where three bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo with Kate. I'm joined by your regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And the semi-irregular host, Mr.
Andy Conduit Turner. Hello, everybody.
How's it going?
Semi-irregular host, man.
The first time I've been called as a regular.
Semi-irregular.
He called me a rhombus. Yeah. Okay, how's it going? Yeah, what we do? We've got drinks, we've got t-shirts on, good?
Yep. Yep, I've got t-shirts on this time. You can't tell what's going on in the bottom half, though. I've got drinks, I've got water, lovely, and I've also got coffee, which has got water in it.
Oh, nice, very hydrated. What about you, Andy?
I've got no drinks to speak of. I have pizza on the way, though. I might have to mute myself when the pizza man comes shortly.
The pizza man?
The pizza man, yeah. When the pizza man arrives.
Yeah.
Could be a woman. Could be a lady.
The pizza person arrives. Pizza I'll get officer. A full report on that. Yeah.
You might get really parched halfway through. Especially when you see me and Luke chugging away at our beverages.
Depends where you get your pizza power from. Three. Because some of them have plenty of moisture in them. Like they're dripping off the top. You can...
Could have a lovely greasy drink.
Lovely.
A lovely ring hot cheese.
Ring it out into your mouth. Oh, that's refreshing, that is.
But I'm not going to turn this into an ASMR podcast. I'm not going to eat it live. I'm going to suffer for my art, and I'm going to wait until we're finished before I tuck in.
Have you ever been... You know those pizzas where the cheese is so stringy that it's like it's trying to suffocate you? You swallow it, and it's like, I'm not going down. It's so... It blobs around your airways.
You ever that? It gets you like the blob.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
It's a risk of the most delicious food available that man ever created. It's a danger you've got to face.
It's the food that's hurt me the most because, I mean, it doesn't matter how hot it is, I'm eating it. Yeah.
Like, straight away.
Like roof skin. That comes out.
I reckon what's going to happen is Andy's going to say he's not going to eat the pizza and we'll be discussing something at some point and we'll just see his head go down. Yeah, we'll see his head go down and I'll come at that.
Or a pizza come up. Ooh.
Bit of cheese hanging out of his mouth. It's fine, Andy. Respect you. Respect you if you did that.
Oh,
the hounds of hell.
I'll go and mute you guys. Start while it arrives.
Okay, cool.
Well, we'll just hold on for a second if you want.
Yeah.
Is it arriving right now? Is it?
Yeah, based on the door, I can hear. Like I'm not getting up to get it. I'm not the other
one.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, he'll wait.
He'll wait, man. Oh my god. Well, we just carry on then if you want.
Okay. Well, have you got any news then, Ben? Any horror news?
Well, do you know what? It's been one of those weeks where I've been looking for the horror news and I've been a bit like, is anything happening in the horror world? I'm sure there's loads. Found a few things. So I don't know if you've seen the trailer or seen anything about the film Ready or Not, which is out next month in the UK, I believe, in September. But it's out in America and it's got pretty good reviews. Apparently it's nice and gruesome. It's
Stephen King did Stephen King likes to tweet his approval. He did an approving tweet of it.
He did an approving tweet. Apparently it's quite a clever film and even though the setup looks like something we've kind of seen before, it does look like it should be a bit of a laugh. Gory.
Also, Samara Weaving. Everything that Samara Weaving's in, she's been a highlight of everything.
Where else has she been?
The Babysitter.
I've not seen her.
She was Elrond in Lord of the Rings. She wasn't. What? That was Hugo Weaver. She was Mr. Smith.
Confusing. But yeah, this looks good because she's obviously in a wedding dress for the duration of what looks like a sort of battle royale slash. Well, to be fair, this doesn't look like a scenario all that different to The Hunt, which obviously got pulled. This doesn't look all that different to The Hunt, does it? Maybe with less political undertones, but it looks like a very similar sort of setup.
You're still rich people shooting poor people, right?
I don't know if it's necessarily a poor person, but it's rich people shooting someone who's just married into the family, or trying to kill someone who's married into the family. It looks like it might be cult.
Isn't this like they all had to play when they joined the family? So like everyone has a go. You know, in many ways, is an egalitarian approach, and we should admire it.
But I'm like, how's everybody alive then?
Guess they won the game of hide and seek.
All the winners, yeah.
Right. Using anyway. So yeah, I thought I'd just mention that because. That's probably something we should do for a future episode, seeing as the reviews are positive. And then there's also a trailer for a documentary called Memory, The Origins of Alien, which focuses on the deeper meaning of Ridley Scott's masterpiece, Alien. So it's getting released in theatres in October, but it's actually it's in UK cinemas, August 30th, and a DVD and video on demand release September the 2nd. So a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff of Ridley Scott, H.R. Giger. Looks like it could be pretty interesting. You guys know much about this? We'll see much about this?
I haven't seen anything about it. Always interesting.
This is a real thing. Yeah, I've never heard of this. You've made this up on the spot.
You've never heard of it either. I saw a few bits and bobs about it recently. I wasn't sure whether it was like, you know, sometimes when these documentaries about other movies appear, you think, well, are they just for YouTube or something like that? But it seems to be getting an official release. It was premiered at Sundance. So yeah, it's an official documentary about the making of Alien.
And you say the deeper meaning. I've been to the Giga Museum. It's all willies.
It's all bloody willies, mate. The deeper meaning is we are all penises. We all have penises or penis envy.
Yeah, that's spoilers for that, I guess. Frightfest was last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Frightfest was last weekend. Yes, indeed. Did anything premiere at Frightfest?
I know there's been quite a lot of movies. I haven't had time to digest all the reviews, but looks like there's been quite a few sort of exciting screenings coming out of it. Maybe we'll pull up some other news maybe another week, but it looks like there's been quite a few screenings of things that have been going on there. I've seen a lot of buzz over last weekend or so.
I think Rabid got
the Cronenberg remake. Yeah.
The Cronenberg remake got screened, yeah, so I don't even think I've seen a trailer of that. Again, I mean, I've been doing my best to avoid trailers for stuff like this as much as possible. Other than that, so it's difficult to talk about stuff when you've not really watched trailers, you know what I mean? I mean, look, there's definitely a film coming out, and it's definitely called this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Maybe I'll watch some trailers and see what I think of those things. And not necessarily horror, but there has been a new trailer for the Joker movie, which dropped today. And I thought I'd bring it up because it's R-rated, so could potentially be some pretty gruesome, gory, or disturbing things happening in that. So it's R-rating for strong bloody violence and disturbing behaviour. So, yeah, this could potentially be what do you guys think of what you've seen of this so far? I'm not sure if you've seen the trailer.
I did watch the new trailer, and it was giving me some... strong. Have you seen the King of Comedy, the Martin Scorsese film? It's giving me some strong King of Comedy vibes.
Yeah. King of Comedy vibes, Taxi Driver.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Maybe a little bit.
I think this I saw the first trailer. I've not watched this new one yet. I might not watch it because I'm going to go and see it anyway.
I don't think there's too much in the trailer in terms of plot. Obviously, there's a lot of visuals and a lot of bits and bobs where you think, okay, you can kind of see possibly the way it's going to go. But I don't think... It doesn't seem like there are...
All I've seen is he starts laughing or crying and it's beaten up. Like I've seen three different versions of that happening. So I think that's all the film is.
Basically, that's it. So obviously, this is sort of like a standalone. Is it set in like the 70s or the 80s? What do you think? kind of looks very seventies. A lot of brown.
Yeah, there's lots of brown. It's either the '70s.
Everyone's wearing brown. Everyone's wearing brown. The interior's all brown and beige and
caramel.
Yeah, I mean, it could go a few different ways, couldn't it? But so far, considering it's like a step away from the DC box office major releases, it does see. I mean, it seems like a big risk, but again, it's interesting to see some. I don't want to say I don't think you can call it a superhero movie, can you? I think that would be.
Yeah.
Do we think that this could somehow coincide with a Batman eventually? Or do we feel like they're worlds apart?
I think if it does well, they might try and do it a little bit further down the line. But I think in its inception and in putting this out, they're intending to do something which is very standalone. If it makes $1 billion, then maybe they'll reconsider what that looks like.
Yeah, definitely. But it would be interesting to see how these worlds would potentially combine, because especially if it's set in the 70s, like how are you going to take a Batman setting, unless we get like some sort of year one Batman scenario.
That could work.
But obviously it doesn't look like it's not set in Gotham either, is it?
I don't know where it's set. I didn't really sort of get any specific city vibes, but it didn't look very Gotham-y though. There's no sort of Gotham.
It didn't look very Gotham. I don't know. So yeah, it looks pretty good. October the 4th, so not long to wait. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
No other news?
That's it for news. There's probably loads more, but I've just a little skimming over.
So I watched a couple of things. And if one of those I can't really talk about anyway, which was Crawl. Because we can do that next week, right?
Yeah, so we'll do Crawl next week. And I think we might do, if you're game, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark afterwards.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
So I've watched both of them at the cinema, so I can't really say much about either, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk about. I want to see... I was very excited to sort of see what you made of the ending of today's film. But, I'm also excited to see what you make of Crawl. But I also saw the most horrific film I've seen in years. It's called A Dog's Journey, and it's about it's a kid's film, and it's about, I don't like to see dogs die, and this film is about a dog that dies again, and it's like a Groundhog Day for a dog. But like the dog sort of it dies, and then the soul of it goes into this other dog's body, and then because it doesn't want to leave this family alone, it's got to protect this family. It's the most heart-wrenching film. Like, you will, if you like dogs, you will probably cry several times.
I like dogs, but this is a sort of genre of film. I say it's a genre. It's like I can't hack this. I can't watch anything like this. It's like, I don't know what it is. What is it?
It's homeward bound, whatever that genre is.
It's like, yeah, whatever that genre is. It's like dog porn, not literally dog porn. But you know what I mean. It's like, oh, you like dogs, do you? Here's a lovely dog. And that's what all the film is about. Like, there's a family and there's a dog. I can't hack it. I mean, I can hack Beethoven. But that's it in terms of dog-led films.
So this is what I saw on Letterboxd. Someone had put, it's like Marley and Me times 5, which it is, because he dies about five or six times. But it's heart-wrenching, but it was surprisingly emotional. Surprisingly good. I'm not going to say it's a fantastic film. Not in a million years is it a fantastic
film. Would you give it A plus film?
I don't think anyone could. But I gave
he's
it
a cat,
four,
he's a cat person. He can't be.
I think I gave it 4 out of 5 just because of how... Like, it's not a good film, but I can't help but feel it's very emotionally satisfying. I was welling
like
up.
Films like that, I feel like they take your rather than being good filmmaking, they're like, they take your emotions by the balls. And they go, have a bit of this, then go on. You don't know whether it's a good film or not because you're too busy like going, oh, the dog's dead.
The performances weren't great. What's the name in from Skins? So Skins actors, they're all over the shop. But then there was, in the second lot of Skins, second round of Skins characters, they had the two lesbian, no, sorry, they had the two twin sisters and one was a lesbian. It has her in it, but like I don't know why it's working to it.
Ben's face.
But I feel like all of the Skins actors are going to be huge at some point, or they're going to be in big American films at some point. So
there's a dog talk.
Yeah, it's Josh Gad who does the voice. Josh Gad?
Yeah, I know, but how, when, and why did this film get made? Sorry, I'm slating it. Have you seen it, mate?
But no, you are right to slate it.
You're right to slate. I mean, it wasn't very highbrow, you know. I mean, it was one of those movies, you know, nonsense, isn't it?
Dennis Quaid's in it.
I did cry five times.
Dennis Quaid's in it, and he gets old, and the way he gets old, he wears thicker and thicker glasses, and he crouches over, hunches over more, and then does that kind of bobbing a lot.
Hello, I'm bloody old.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, but it's mate. It's if you like dogs. It's a straight up horror movie. Other than that, I went to the David Lynch exhibition. There's like at the Home Cinema in Manchester. David Lynch has got all his paintings and lithographs and stuff out there, and that was pretty awesome to see that side of his work and up close, to be that close to what his hands have touched. It was nice.
That's about it. That's pretty good. I've not watch anything apart from films we're going to do in future episodes. I did watch Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, with the kids. Yeah. I don't need an excuse to watch it. Come on, kids, you want to watch this, do you? I mean, I'd never watch it if I was on my own, you know? I was a big Goosebumps fan, and I thought the original film was all right, the one with Jack Black.
I've heard that's
Jack
good,
Black
yeah.
is Jack Black is in this, but it's like literally for, I don't know, 25 seconds. It's almost like he just turned up. And I don't know, it was kind of, it really, really felt like a Goosebumps episode. And that was kind of it. I wasn't impressed by it at all. It's got one of the kids from It, the kid who plays Ben. And It, he's in it. Obviously, they've gone, well, you were in It, weren't you? You want to get in this? This is scary
the kid
as well.
Shazam? Is he in Shazam, that kid?
No. Okay. The kid, I know which kid you mean. That was the kid who plays Richie, right? No. Not Richie, the one who plays
Ben Hanscom is the trivia guy.
Got you.
Okay,
yeah. That was it. Oh, I did also watch Dora and the Lost City of Gold. You didn't, I mean, Dora the Explorer as a movie. If you ever thought you needed it, it was perfectly fine to waste an hour and a half. I got a bit bored halfway through. But Danny Trejo voices the monkey Boots.
The monkey Hoops, that's, did you say?
The monkey called Boots.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know Dora the Explorer. I've no idea. I thought Dora was Wizard Dora the Explorer. Wizard Dora the...
Bloody miles off, mate.
Exactly.
And that was it. And I also went to watch this film with Andy in person.
We're really pitching for the extreme horror audience this week, guys, between between a film about a dog dying and Dora.
Did you watch anything stupid, Andy?
No, sadly not. I also saw Crawl, which we're not talking about now, and I'm going to go and see Scary Stories to Tell in Dark in about an hour. I've been watching a bit of Mindhunter, started the new series of that.
Oh, yeah.
Horror adjacent, I guess, with those rotten murderers. The acting of the casting of those real murderers has been pretty fantastic. But I'm about halfway through, so can't really comment on how it ends. It's been a good series so far.
Yeah, I've not seen any of that. So the first series was good as well. Was that?
Yeah, it took me a while to get back into it because I think there's been quite a big break between series. So it took me about the first half of the first episode to remember who anyone was. I'd say if you watched it when it first came out, it might be worth a recap. But I'm into it now, about five in, and it's really kind of picked up.
Yeah, that's sweet. Cat's been watching it, and I keep looking over and thinking, that looks all right, but I struggle to get into TV series, that especially ones that takes a little bit of getting into, unless it's like The Boys, when it's like instantly you know what you're going in for and it's a quick half an hour blast. But I don't know about Mindhunter.
Oh,
Also watched the Care Bears movie. You know, it's a little bit. I can't.
You haven't.
Not for that. No, it's a bit sad. I think that Frosty Heart guy might concrete over things, and there's probably a bit of sadness there. So I'm not sure it won't be a bit too triggering. So I've steered away from it.
Too close to the bone.
Yeah.
But I did also watch the film with you, Ben.
Oh yes.
Do you want to talk a bit about that then? So you went on a date or something, did you? You big gay bros.
It wasn't just the two of us. I mean, I was hoping it was just going to be the two of us, but when I got there, Andy was with his wife. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And another bearded cinema goer.
Yeah. So, but that was fine. I think it was one of those films you need to watch in an audience of a group of people who've definitely had a couple of alcoholic beverages. Bar was busy. But I think, so Bristol Bad Film Club, should we talk a little bit about this, Andy? You might know a little bit more than me. So there's a screening. Is it a different venue each time?
Yeah, I think they might have repeated some venues now, but Bristol Bad Film Club, I first became aware of them a few years ago when I went to see Zoltan, Hound of Dracula, in a cemetery. That was a great screening. So they are, it was basically a guy who was kind of really into B movies, Tai-Sing, and he put together a screening because he didn't really find anything where they were screening these B movies in Bristol. So he started doing with just one screening, and then from that it's kind of evolved from there. And now he does a screening every month, not always horror, but just sometimes. But you know, sometimes just recognisably bad movies. They always raise money for charity in a local Bristol venue. It's been getting increasingly popular. I've been to a few now. So I saw Zoltan, Hound of Dracula. I saw a double bill of Runaway and Chopping Mall, that both great nice. Killer robot movies. They've done a screening of the 90s Captain America. They've done a screening of The Room with the guy that isn't Tommy Wiseau, who came and spoke at the screening. That was really
Greg.
Great.
Is it Greg?
Greg.
Tai-Sing, the organizer, had a story where Greg spent Christmas like at his parents' house or something.
Yeah.
Through these screenings. So obviously they're popular, you know, with a lot of people.
I think these type of films that they screen are, I'd seen today's movie before, but it was quite an experience watching it in a room full of people and seeing other people's reactions to it. And it's things that maybe you wouldn't laugh out loud at when you're watching at home, even if it's something that's a bit ropey. But when you're in the kind of environment with a room full of people and everyone's watching it, it is a really fun experience to watch it with that type of audience. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we did have a word with Tai-Sing, the organizer, and the host for the evening, who was Alice Taylor Matthews. So maybe that is also on our YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this podcast, wise YouTube channel, Hawk and Cleaver, there's a video there, like a good few minutes of them talking about Bristol Bad Film Club. Maybe we'll put, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'll put a link to the video. And luckily when we spoke to them at the end, we got them to do a special trivia section just for Luke Condor. Because usually he's the quiz master, obviously. This time he's going to be on the receiving end of it, mate. How does it feel? How does it feel? How does it feel, Luke?
I'm kind of worried. I understand the pressure involved. You don't look like an idiot. And you know, not more than need be. And, you know, I am an idiot. So I'm kind of worried I'm going to get all these wrong.
Be like that, Luke.
Yeah. By the way,
you're great.
Regular listener, Laura... got in touch to say Lewis and Clark, the name of this ship on Event Horizon, which we did an episode on a couple of episodes ago, Lewis and Clark were American explorers. So there's a whole thing there with that's why it's called the Lewis and Clark.
What did we say?
Like a shoe company or something.
It's like the two
Met urinals.
Gurus of shoes have just, I like it. When we get corrected. Was that corrected? That wasn't corrected. That's just kind of like a nice little, on, guys, you should, a little tidbit for
Isn't
for
Laura a big fan of today's movie? I'm pretty sure she's mentioned it in the group before.
I think she has, yeah. So she would be definitely listening to this one. So thanks, Laura. Laura Mallon, that is. Thank you very much. We are very, like I said before, we're quite dumb. So we do need a bit of help every now and again.
We need like a gentle bit of guidance sometimes, you know, because, I mean, who doesn't?
No one's claiming to be an expert here. Come on.
Well, speak for yourself, guys. All right. Speak for yourself. God, I'm joking. So shall I tell you a little bit about today's film?
Yes, please.
So Sleepaway Camp is a 1983 American slasher film written and directed by Robert Hiltzik. Is that what we're saying his surname, Andy?
Yeah.
Robert Hiltzik.
Hiltzik.
He also served as executive producer. The film tells of a story of a young girl sent to summer camp where a series of killings begin shortly after her arrival. It stars Felisa Rose? I'm saying things weird. Catherine Carmi, Paul D'Angelo, and Mike Kellen. In his last screen appearance, Mike Kellen.
Who is Mike Kellen? Is he the pedo or is he the camp? The
Come
camp
on,
owner.
Don't speak ill of his memory. I think he might be like the camp leader dude, the one who's always chomping on a cigar.
A cigar and punching kids.
I don't think the paedophile would be listed fourth in the list of the cast member. Maybe he was famous, you know, and they're like, who can play a real good pedo?
and so and so as the pedo.
As the bloody pedo. I've never seen this before. Obviously, Andy's gone on about it a lot, and I've always thought, yeah, maybe I'll get around to that one day. And obviously, this was the perfect opportunity because I'd never been to the Bristol Bad Film Club ever. Andy was going, so you know, I wouldn't have to go on my own and just sit there and like, ha ha ha. Luckily, I could go, ha ha, Andy, yeah, I know you. We're like that, we are.
Harmonizing your laughs.
Harmonizing our laughs, exactly. I think it was good to watch it with somebody because obviously Andy was looking at me a lot, obviously trying to gauge my reaction sometimes, like as things happen, sometimes just before they happened. I think he just wanted to know what is he gonna do, and particularly the ending, obviously not giving anything away yet, but particularly the ending, which I think my face was like this.
I think
Andy was just loving it.
Any film that we've that's been discussed on this podcast before, I know we always go through the details and there'll be spoilers, but more so than any other film, I think if anyone listening has an intention to watch this movie, watch it before you listen to us talk this through.
Yeah. So it's
go into
not,
this one fresh.
It's not a standard slasher film. Like, well, it is. There's like the homage to a lot of slasher, even though it's 1983, so obviously it was right bang in the middle of, you know, the slasher. I guess what was the first... Slasher boom, what I'm trying to say. I was going to say resurgence, but that ain't the right word, mate. That ain't the right word. The slasher boom. So it's a very unique film. I guess you could consider it a bad film, but it's not boring.
I would think I would balk against someone saying it's a bad film because it's got weird. It's like there's some characters in it that are just bizarre. But like, I don't know if that's sort of on purpose. Like, are they
there
supposed
are characters.
To be...
There are characters in this film that shouldn't be in this film, you know. They're from another film and they just turn up and it's a bit like, what?
But is that like a John Waters type cult movie sort of vibe to it? Like, I don't know if there were mistakes. I mean, they just put there because they're interesting. But I don't know. I would say it's a bad film. I think this film's got some of the best kills in maybe any sort of 80s slasher I've ever seen. Like, all the kills, like the gore effects are fantastic. And the plot twist, mate. No one would see that coming. I don't know if anyone went into this and went, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen at the end of this film. No one would guess this plot twist.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I genuinely like this film. When people come round, they want a bit of a horror movie on. There are films that I know, objectively speaking, are better made movies.
Yeah.
But if you've got people around, you're going to watch a horror movie. This comes out every time.
This is more interesting than Friday the 13th, the first one, anyway.
Yeah.
More interesting, I think, than maybe not the first Halloween, but like some of the sequels and that. Like, if you want to put a fun slasher on, it's more fun than The Burning. This is more fun than what's the one with the... commando guy with the rake, whatever that one's called. This is one of the most fun slashes you can stick on. It's just a great film. I mean,
is this the first time you've seen it as well, Lee?
No, I saw it last year at some point. And I remember thinking then, like, that was insane, but like, it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I do highly recommend it. Watching it with other people, like, it's a good film to stick on and watch with friends, to just kind of just laugh at the ridiculous nature of it. Laugh at the, I mean, some of the one-liners in this are are insane. Yeah.
Especially with the accent, everyone having like a kind of
almost old time here.
Yeah, like an over the top New York accent. One of my favorites is still, "Hey Angela, why are you so fucked up?
Up, Angela?" So there's a lot of that, and I kind of like, how about halfway through, I kind of saw which way it was going. Like, I felt like I could work out who was going to be revealed as being the killer. I felt like, oh, it's got to be this person because it just makes sense. We see a lot of reactions from people when the killer walks into the room, and a lot of people go, "Oh, it's you," like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of knew which way it was going to go. But then by the time we get the final reveal, it was almost like this. What? And I mean, it is an unnerving reveal. Like, there's a lot of stuff to unpack in that final reveal. Yeah. And it's spine tingling. It is like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a weird little punchline. Because it's like there's a reveal of who it is, but then also the reveal about who, what. An extra reveal about that person.
There's an extra layer of a reveal, which is so if you haven't seen this film, then don't listen to this. Go and watch it before you listen to this podcast, because we won't spoil the ending until we start discussing the ending, but at the same time, I think you really need to go and watch it if you're a fan of, you know, slasher movies and you haven't seen this one.
Right. So the film opens there's a weird intro with two men and two kids playing in a camp lake, and there's a boy and a girl, and they're having some fun, and then there's someone on a speedboat doing a bit of water skiing and stuff and having fun. I can't tell what actually it's meant to be, sort of slightly confusing, I think, because it doesn't want to give away the game right at the start. But I have not. When I watch it back now, I'm like, "What happened?" The boat runs over someone. You don't know who gets
there's
hurt.
There's a boating accident. The family, which is the two kids and the dad on the boat, get smashed by the speedboat that's coming along, because that the camp counselor foolishly lets that girl have a go at driving the boat. She insists that man's got one just like it.
Isn't there a bit where, as the boat's hurtling towards these people in the water, the one who's driving it goes, "Hey," he tries to take the wheel, but somehow puts the accelerator on even more.
He does. He accidentally leans on the accelerator, puts it to killing speed.
Oh no!
And they get the family that are messing about in the water get all smushed up by that boat, chumbled up by the engine.
So who dies?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't. You just see a float. You know, I think you know the dad's dead, because I think you see his body float on.
Yeah,
but then you don't know who's about the kids.
The dad, and then, well, as revealed in the next scene, the dad and the son are killed in the boating accident, because we fast forward to a few years later and we see, I think it's kind of seeded in the first scene, because they mention Ricky is about to come to the lake and join them with his mom. We now fast forward to several years later. Is it
eight years apparently? Yeah, so the prologue happens in 1975, and we're 8 years later in 1983.
And so, we're seeing,
we're introduced to maybe the most bizarre character on cinema ever.
She's incredible.
She's like Dr. Martha Thomas. She's part ghoul, part like pantomime character. She's a strange, like,
she's got like a bit of string turned around her thing.
Yeah, like she's overacting to the point of ludicrous. Like,
no, Luke, now, come on. She's chewing the scenery. She's
Hoffman. She's Daniel Day-Lewis.
She's Pacino. She's Day-Lewis. Exactly. She just. Yeah. Goes into the role, becomes the role. The role is her. She's very phenomenal. Obviously very strange. So everything she says, she's kind of like speaks to herself. Well, what if I was to? Oh, would that wouldn't be on, would it? No, no, no. A bit like that.
Yes.
It's creepy
and
confusing and weird.
Yeah. What did she say to? She's Ricky's mum. I'm surprised Ricky's not more messed up than he is. But she's Ricky's mum, right? And she...
Yeah, she's Ricky's mum. They're divorced from Ricky's dad. And now the daughter of the pair of children that we saw earlier, Angela, also lives with Ricky and his mum, and she's sending them off to camp.
Right, okay, yeah. So, I mean, there's not really too much more to her story other than just maybe a bit later on, but like she's just, she steals, like you will not, you see this film, she's only in it for like 2 minutes, but you won't forget her ever.
Yeah.
Ever. So then we cut to the camp, the summer camp sort of film, horror mode, slash, so you know exactly what the summer camp looks like in your head, you're all picturing it already. They've got tons of kids, there's a pier, there's some basketball bits and kids in shorts. Some kids in some very short shorts.
There's a man in short shorts, yeah. There's a man in tiny little red. He is the Fonz. He's got great, I mean, he's got magnificent hair, but he's got tiny shorts. And like the people who work at the camp are all deplorables in one way or another. You know, you've got some people, we've got clearly a paedophile, and then you've got maybe a possible paedophile. There's another guy who's like the leader of the camp who's like wants to date one of the girls.
One of the camp counselors.
How old is she? Like 30 years is junior. You've got a lot of other like cooks and chefs who like seem to turn a blind eye to all this stuff.
Sticking their fingers in their belly buttons and looking at the kids, like just out in the open as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of messed up. There's a lot of messed up shit.
As Ben's pointed out, though, the paedophile chef that's in there, isn't even like a secret paedophile chef. He blatantly says, as these kids are all getting off the bus, something gross, and the other one just like looks like,
fresh chicken or something like that.
Fresh chicken, he does. And the others are like,
what we don't see is he's actually looking slightly to the right of the kids. There's a batch of fresh chicken just arrived for the
But he's dribbling and he's got an erection.
Yeah.
So everyone sort of reacts to him like, bloody Peter, what is he like? What a Peter. Yeah, it's a bit messed up.
So I think Andrew and Ricky gets along with, like, he's got his old mate from the last camp, from the camp last year. He's got his ex bit of crumpet. What's her name? Jane or something?
Judy. It was pointed out to us by the host of the event that at one point, Judy, who is again a standout character for me, is fabulous. But she, at one point in the movie, she's wearing a t-shirt with the word Judy just written across the shirt.
Who's this t-shirt for? Does anybody know? Thanks for Judy.
Judy's fantastic in this as well. Like, I think possibly one of the best villainous, bully characters.
Emotive eyes. Like, everything she tells, every story she tells in every scene is with her eyes. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's great.
We get the impression straight away that Angela's just not going to fit in. She's a mute. She doesn't say anything, doesn't look at anyone, doesn't make eye contact. She stands off to the side. And Judy and her friends instantly sort of take offense at that, as you rightly would. What, take mind their own business, is she? I'm going to fucking make her like that.
I think she's better than us, does she? What a bitch.
Yeah.
Not answering when I ask her a million questions in a row. You silly bitch.
Ricky's getting on fine. Everyone likes Ricky, I think.
Yeah. So is it pretty much immediately
the pervert
tries to molest Angela? He's like, silence, eh? Perfect.
We have a little bit of settling in and meeting all the kids, Judy being a cow, but then you're right, it kind of fast forwards a couple of days and then they're in the mess hall. The Fonz has learned that Angela hasn't eaten anything, so he takes her to the kitchen to get some ice cream and leaves her in the care of pedo Mike.
Hey, this guy will look after you. He's a great guy. He's definitely not a pedophile.
And so he takes Angela into the walk-in freezer to find some ice cream. He goes to try, and he's literally, disgustingly, like, taking his belt off his trousers when who should walk in but Ricky, who we also learn for a kid has the shortest temper in the world, because Ricky kicks off for anything. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
What the fuck? fuck, man. Hey, I'm just trying to do a bit of pedophiling over here.
I'm pedophiling over here. Yeah. And they run away, and then the pedo, out of sexual frustration, punches a box of tomatoes. Like, really, a wellies a box of tomatoes.
So oh, tomatoes, eh? Ripe, are they? They're like my balls, bloody big and red. Looking at it.
And then to try and calm down, I guess, he goes to stand on a stepladder to examine a massive
the most
big
ludicrous
vat of boiling
thing.
Water.
Actually, the more I think about it, he's like, so he's standing over it. I think he's like, it's a massive cauldron sort of thing of boiling water.
Boiled corn in, I
what's
guess.
Is he dropping in some salt and pepper or something in the top?
He's going to chuck some salt in because he gets his assistant to go and get the salt to pour in, like a big laundry box full of salt.
Okay.
And he goes up and he's standing, putting the salt in the big, dangerous, boiling cauldron of water, the massive tea urn. And someone in first-person view creeps out from under the table, boots the ladder out from under him, and he's kind of left precariously standing, holding.
He's obviously not trying to get... It's weird, because it's like one of those things where someone's obviously pretending to sort of hang over, where they could just let go of the thing and stand up. But he's like, whoa... No. Also, the view of the hand going to the stepladder is really funny, because one hand goes and it goes like the music Sting, and it goes on the thing, and then he's like, whoa, and then the second hand comes into view really slow. It's funny. Yeah, it's weird.
So he's pulled off, not in the way that he was hoping to be, but off a stepladder. Causing a vat of boiling water to fall over him and scalded him quite severely.
Found himself in some hot water there.
Did.
He pours all over him. This is like the kill scene, the gore effects. Because he's like on the floor, he's screaming his face off. And it's like there's like blisters and stuff popping and stuff in real time on his face. I don't know how they did that. Unless they did it for real.
The practical effects are actually super impressive in this movie.
Yeah. He screams his head off. They all.
One of the kitchen staff comes in and sort of just sees him. It's a bit like this.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
A doctor turns up, and then what's the name? Mal goes, what's the prognosis? He's burned.
He's very badly burned.
he's burned pretty badly. And that's what he says. No. And he goes, okay, Doc, thanks. And then he literally leaves.
He's like, all right, my work here is done. But oddly enough, this guy doesn't die. He goes off in terrible burning pain off to hospital.
Yeah, it's weird that, because he could... Slasher victims never usually live to tell the tale unless they're there.
But off he goes to the hospital, and Campona kind of says to the other people in the kitchen, tell you what, I'll pay you a little bit extra because you're the head chef now.
Yeah.
Maybe don't mention that. I mean, everyone knows he's a paedophile. Mention that, but mention that he maybe got another job somewhere else, not that he was burned with water. Because
I gave him a reference. I gave him a reference, and he got a job somewhere else. Has he ever had any issues of, like, you know, conduct or anything? No, he's great. Great round kids. So the camp owner's name is Mel Kostick.
Mel Kostick. Okay, yeah. I guess we're into the flow of the slasher movie pretty quick, because it's just a series of people.
Because the film's dead short, right? It's 80 minutes long.
There's a couple of people around here who start bullying Angela. I can't remember what they do to her.
This is a little later. The next one is, hey, Angela, why are you so fucked up? This is when the boys are at the social and they're trying to convince girls to go skinny dipping, and they ask Angela for a joke because she doesn't talk.
Yeah.
She says, well, nothing. She's just very good at, like, just stares blankly forwards like this.
And they go, well, that must be yes.
So they make fun of her a little bit, and then they go off to try skinny dipping with some of the girls unsuccessfully. One girl does go out on a boat with this kid, and then he tips the boat over, and then she's like, I hate you, you loser, bye. She swims off back to shore, and then while he goes under the canoe and does, like, some weird singing, he's like, hey, you!
He goes, hey, Barbarina, hey, Barbarina. And then a head pops up out of the water, and he goes, hey, you're not Barbarina.
Hey, you're not Barbarina. I was under the fucking boat. And he gets smirked. He gets drowned,
yeah.
By the way, I mean, we know the reveal. I mean, how strong is the killer? I mean, the killer seems to have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like immense strength she could just... Fucking hell. The killer can hold the kid underwater very easily.
Been doing weights.
Yeah. But then, of course, the next morning, I think one of the camp counselors finds him, and the body's all
snake kinda, in his gob.
Snake in his gob, yeah. Half eaten already and stuff, and all messed up. Again, great practical effects. I don't know how they got the to look that good. It's spot on.
And again, they're pretty keen to, you know, cover this up immediately, even though a lot of people witness it. You know, yeah. they don't want any parents to find out or something. So we get a police officer as well.
They don't want any bad
police officer. Yeah. What's the police officer's name again?
Is it Steve?
The mustache one.
Yeah, the mustache one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Frank. So Frank. Police officer Frank. Yeah. So
he has a real mustache at this point. And then in a scene where he appears later on, again, as pointed out very ably by our host for the day, when he appeared for reshoots later on, he no longer had a mustache. He has, in hindsight, a very, very fake looking one that he wears later on.
Yeah.
Pretty fake. So later on, we get a bit of the water balloons, the kids on the roof from water balloons at Angela when she turns up. Some of these kids look like 35, don't they? Like some, yeah. most of them are kids, but like these kids, like especially like the head, is like the head bully or whatever, one of these guys, one of the head bastard. He looks pretty old.
Is the head bully 25. The one that is the same? Is the victim of Ricky's great insult where they're having their baseball game?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, the baseball game.
Eat shit and die, Ricky's like, no, eat shit and live, Bill.
Eat shit and live, Bill, because then you'll have shit in your teeth and it'll be unpleasant for you and anyone who's around you. Whereas if I eat shit and die, then it's over, then, isn't it?
Yeah, but those no good bullies. And I think, again, the movie moves along at quite a pace. We've had a couple of incidents already where Angela has had some escalating problems, like in the girls' bunkhouse with Judy and the bullies, because she doesn't talk to them. She's literally silent whenever they talk to them. She is starting to talk to Paul, though, Ricky's mate from previous years. So he's starting to talk to her a little bit. And I think at this point she has been seen to say, like, hello and goodbye to Paul. But she goes out and then, you're right, she gets water ballooned by those no-good bullies. Ricky comes out and literally loses his shit at his cousin being water ballooned. He's like, you fucking cocksuckers, I'll kill you!
You cocksuckers, you got two fucking guns here with your name on it, but he's crazy. But again, he looks like 10, and the person who's bullying her looks like 25.
But yeah, Ricky's right, mate. We've
got to talk about there's a baseball scene which lasts about, you know, a quarter of the film. Probably not as long as that, but it's a long baseball scene. It's like the changing of like the day and everything. It just goes on. are we made to think that this was included because of the runtime, just to try and bulk out the runtime a little bit?
Yeah, that's like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and he says there was an immense amount of slow motion because we didn't have enough footage to fill out the runtime. Yeah.
Anything without dialogue is considered for slow motion. Yeah. But yeah, pretty much with this, there is a lengthy baseball scene, and there are some prank scenes as well with the, you know, the power of the mind bit, where they get that boy to try and sit up as hard as they can, but someone's ready to fart in his face.
That is classic, mate. That is classic.
Yeah.
And the shaving foam in the hand, and then tickle his nose there.
Oh, and he pulls a knife on them for that, doesn't he?
Yeah, Mozart. Why don't they call him Mozart?
Because he has glasses.
He has glasses. Albert Einstein or something? I don't think Albert Einstein had glasses, did he?
That would mark you out as an intellectual in the eyes of either 80s bullies or Pol Pot. Like, you know, you're an intellectual. We have a little bit of like just antics going on, but when antics seem to affect Angela, because she's quite a fragile person, then the people who are perpetrating that type of bullying tend to get got. And then this is what we see here, where everyone is going off for dinner, and the kid who's been throwing water balloons just nips for, in his words, a wicked shit.
Hey, I gotta drop a mean deuce.
He nips off to the toilet, only to find the cubicle doors broom handled, so he can't get out.
Yeah.
And then someone wazzes a ton of bees in through the window.
Just drops a beehive in.
The gap. Yeah. The gap underneath the stall door is like this, is like that. So he can probably duck under it, let alone have to crawl. But yeah, get the bees!
These bees make a mess of this guy. Like,
yeah,
is there like the bore like holes for him and stuff? They've done a number on him. He's there.
They get all of those bees. Get the bees.
They've got like literally must have knives instead of stings because this kid's face is blamonged.
Yeah,
he's been absolutely done in because again they zoom and have quite a lingering shot on this kid's bee stabbed face.
Yeah. What do you want to do as well? Go for a little wicked shit and you get stung to death.
Oh, that's what I've ordered. I wonder if he got stung in his particulars.
I think the bees were trying to collect their pollen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, around this time.
No, you can't move on from that, mate. You can't just go.
Yeah. So I think you're marking yourself out as the person who's destined to bring the Sleepaway Camp series back. Like this type of dialogue.
Yeah.
If you were a policeman investigating that, you would have said that and written it down in your notebook. Gone, that's a good one. So Mel's
put your
like,
shades back on, like Dave Caruso.
So Mel like suspects a killer in the camp, but he's like convinced it's Ricky, isn't he? He's like, I gotta know. I know who this is. You're this guy over here. You're crazy. He thinks it's Ricky because Ricky's got a bad temper, and you know.
And he plans to stop him next time because at this having had three deaths, two deaths and a scalding happening on site, a lot of kids have gone home. I think the Fonz mentions that there are about 20 or so kids that have stayed, and the others have all been. You know, have been summoned back home by their parents. So
hey, my shorts are getting smaller by the minute. No, your kid's going home. My shorts are shrinking.
The size of his shorts is directly related to the number of kids on the premises.
If anyone else goes, it's going to be a little mess. It's going to be a fong down there.
But they, I guess a lot of the kids have gone home. Mel is suspicious of Ricky and he stops, there's another bit a little bit later on where there's a bad camp counselor called Meg, who's definitely on side with Judy.
Yeah.
Takes offense to Angela chatting to Paul again, and they give her a hard time. And Mel stops Ricky from coming. He goes, "Oh, I see. You're always stopping your cousin from being bullied, eh? Did you stop people bullying her by murdering?" Well, no, you're responsible here, Mel. You should probably stop my cousin from being thrown into the lake. Things are going awry there. Mel gets in trouble because the Fonz comes and stops her from picking on Angela, and slaps her around the face. it's all kind of escalating. Mel thinks Ricky's responsible for the murders, and there is a bout of bullying between Judy, Meg, the bad camp counselor, and then some rotten little kids are throwing sand at Angela after they drop her in the water as well. At some point as well.
Okay. I've just realized something. I had a question about a certain lot of kids, and I was like, what did those kids do? Why did... Because there's some kids who wind up dead later on. And I wasn't sure what it did, but maybe they're the sand throwers.
Yeah, they're the sand throwers, I think. And I think that's... Okay. I think we've got, as we've gone through at a pace here, there are two incidents at the water. One where they just have a go at Angela at the water, and this is where Meg gets slapped around the face. And then a second one where Angela is actually thrown into the water because Mel stops Ricky from intervening, and that's when the kids throw the sand all over Angela. Yeah. Clearly, harkening back to the first bit of the movie, Angela probably doesn't like the water because she was in a terrible boating accident where her dad and brother died.
Yeah.
And I guess the other incident that we've gone through is during a game of Capture the Flag that's going on, Paul, having tried to give Angela a cheeky little snog on a previous little trip to the beach with her, because their relationship is continuing to blossom. He's kind of almost blown it with her by trying to snog her, and then who should come in to try and disrupt things but Stone Cold Bitch number one, Judy. And during the Capture the Flag game, yeah, Ricky tries to convince Angela to help him do a little plan to capture the flag, and they're sneaking round the bushes to get the flag, only to walk in on Judy snogging Paul. Angela gets very upset and runs away. Ricky does an excellent walking away, flipping the bird by literally...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, backwards.
I'm not even going to look around when I give Flippy the bird, motherfucker.
We skipped around a little bit there, but basically that happens. So Judy has snogged Paul. She's had another go at Angela, and then this is where Paul comes to make up with Angela, and they throw her in the water for revenge.
And they get sand thrown on her by some little kids.
By some little kids.
Yeah.
And okay, at this point, this is when we sort of head into the big spree, I guess, of the big evening, where there's going to be a social. And everyone's kind of off doing their own thing. So Rotten Camp Counselor Meg is going on a date with the camp owner, Mel.
Mel is 65, 70. That's a bit of... But let's say 60. Mel's quite old, and Meg's 17, maybe.
17, 18, yeah.
So it's not... There's a weird through line of pedo-y activity in this film, it's sort of
thought of as fairly normal as well. I feel, yeah, but no one seems to care. Hey, have you seen Meg around here? Me and her are supposed to go on a date, and they're like, "Oh, she's just having a shower, mate. Go and have a look for her. Go and have a look for her in the shower. Go on."
Yeah,
and he does, only to find that she's been stabbed through the shower wall. Shower wall is clearly not very thick, because she has been not only stabbed through the wall, but then the knife has been dragged down, and she's been filleted.
Clearly, a very strong killer. Must be like a grown man. Must be like a Jason type.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only explanation.
Yeah,
there's got to be a second killer.
The only explanation. Yeah,
having not been stabbed though, I'd wonder, like, if someone stabbed you in the back, surely you'd wince away, like, oh.
Even if the water's slightly hot or cold, I'm going to walk and run away like that. if it's a knife, I don't know. Maybe her feet were stuck. I don't know. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Very small shower cubicle. Maybe the curtain was stuck to her on one side, and she's... I don't know. She was stuck to the way. Maybe it wasn't the wall, it was the curtain. She was just stuck to it.
She gets properly gouged out, and
Mel finds her body.
Left for dead, yeah. Mel finds her body and does some very dramatic, like, crying. It's like, oh, I failed to stop that Ricky again. This time I'll get him. And he runs off in a rage.
He beats the shit out of Ricky, right?
He does. Meanwhile, though, the other counselor has taken out the sand-throwing kids for a bit of camping. And then in another scene, we see one of them is playing with, like, a little axe for chopping up firewood. He's like, oh, don't fuck about with that. Give that here. Two of the kids in the night say they want to go back to their bunks, their, you know, the cabins where they're staying. And he, like all responsible camp counselors, the guy takes the two kids that want to go back to their bunks, leaving another three kids out unsupervised in the woods to sleep on their own and get hatcheted.
Yeah. They get messed up pretty bad. Hatcheted. They got hatcheted. Yeah.
Keep us honest, guys. What happens in order? Does Mel find Ricky or does Judy meet her end?
I think Judy meets her end before.
Yeah.
The finding of Ricky. Yeah, so she's obviously in. She's trying to get it on with some guy underneath. Does he have second thoughts or does he just go, hey, I'm not into this?
He doesn't want to get done.
Doing the accent.
Like, oh, I don't want to get done because people are around and we're not meant to be in here. So rather, like all sensible teenage boys, when sex is on offer, he goes back to his bunk on his own.
See you later. And she goes, well, this ship has sailed.
So she's like, I'm going to straighten my hair. I'm just going to chill out, straighten my hair, have a girl's night in. And then she lays. Oh no, she gets punched in the face.
Door is open. Then we have another one of those great. Oh, it's you. What's your problem?
I think we do actually see a shot of the person at the door, but it's brief. And it doesn't quite look.
At this point in the film, I thought it was Ricky. Like, yeah, I mean, you see it very briefly. I thought maybe it was Ricky,
And it could be. It may even been the actor that played Ricky that stood in that doorway because it looks a lot like him.
Very Ricky. And then,
very Ricky.
So he gets, Judy gets a bunch of fives right in the old chops there. She's laid out and then is done in with her own straighteners.
So is she? How is? Because you don't see, you sort of see a silhouette, right, of pain. How is she killed with the straighteners? Did we never find out?
I'm pretty sure she gets penetrated by them, right?
Okay, that's what I suspected.
Pretty sure she gets penetrated by them. And then we get some hands, some shadows of hands on the wall.
Horrific. Yeah, that's a horrible way to go.
Straighteners right up the wazoo. No good.
No good will happen from that.
Meanwhile, Ricky, we see he has conveniently been having a lie down because he didn't feel well before dinner time. He goes to get like a bar of chocolate from the social or something and is walking back when he encounters Mel, who beats him up like a chimpanzee.
Yeah, that's hard.
This got a big laugh in the screening because it was like, Caesar, no!
what got the biggest laugh in the screening?
I'd say either Officer Frank's fake moustache
I didn't even notice that the first time.
Neither did I until it had been pointed out. But when I did, we were all waiting for it. Yeah. So
it was like the aunt dialogue at the start. The aunt.
The aunt was really funny. Ricky kicking off all the time, telling people, you know, when he's kicking off, he is very funny. But otherwise, I think
more shock, like, you know, serious scares? Was anyone kind of screaming, or was there any parts of like, whoa, what?
There was some gasps and groans at the practical effects. I think people had a genuine reaction to those. I think you're right, Luke. I think this. Where Mel beats up Ricky with his crazy Hulk smash actions, there's some big laughs here because he goes for it for quite a long time.
I was even thought Ricky might be dead at that point.
Yeah,
he gets a proper pounding.
I was pretty sure he was dead. Yeah.
So, but he doesn't last long after the beating. Mel turns around and goes, "Oh, it's you!
It's you!
Yeah." And then within half a second, he gets an arrow through the neck.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite an aim.
Who wore it better, do you think? Do you think who got the better arrowing? Is it Mel here, or is it Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th?
Kevin Bacon one's weird because it kind of comes out of nowhere. He's just lying in bed, and then it sort of comes up through the bed and out of his throat. This one looked, I mean, they both look pretty good, but this one, he was just standing there and then the arrow just goes straight through. So I kind of think this one looks more realistic in a way.
And it's a wonderful moment, isn't it? Because in the shot, he walks in front of a target as well, yeah. in the archery range. And I think as soon as he does, there was like a knowing groan from the cinema. This is exactly what was going to happen.
I mean, I don't know how you even do that effect. It looked another great example of the special. I wonder what other films the guy did the special effects in this film did. Because spot on.
Well, Luke,
maybe you'll learn about that a little bit later.
The trivia section, you might find out a little bit more.
Okay. All right. So
now it's time.
So Mel's dead. Oh, okay. Yeah. So Officer Frank turns up with some other people or something,
and the counselor, so the good counselor, like the Fonz, and there's a female counselor who's established herself as a goodie as well. They go round and they go out in pairs and they start to find all the victims that have happened on this escalating night. I think they're called, the Officer Frank is called when the counselor who was looking after those kids not very well in the forest comes back to find they've all been hatcheted.
Yeah.
So they start finding, they find Meg, they find Judy, they find Ricky, bludgeoned to within an inch of his life by Mel's fists of fury.
Yeah.
And then they rush to the last location, which is on the beach where Angela and Paul they previously chased each other, and where they had an awkward, where Paul tried to be a little bit handsy. She's been invited back to the beach again. And they rush off to find Angela and Paul, the surviving members of the camp, only to find
she's like nursing his head. She's like singing to herself, and then it's a weird scene. So she stands up.
We snap to a brief section of the art. We snap to a brief scene of the aunt, right, where we have the reveal.
Yeah, I think that's slightly. I think she stands up. Did it say it's a boy, and then the sort of
we get the reveal, and then we pan back because it freezes on that to the very end. So
yeah,
you're right. So we go back to when the guys first came back from the boating accident. We see that it wasn't Angela that came along. It was the brother of the two siblings that survived the boat accident. And the overacting aunt kind of says, "Oh, but we already have a little boy. That won't do at all. No, 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 not at all. But a girl, I think we'll call you Angela. Why, I believe that means angel. Why, I'm sure of it."
Yeah.
And we just see the little boy looking very sad about what he's gotten himself into.
Okay, so this is you've not seen it. I mean, I'm guessing people have seen it if they're going to listen to this. But so Angela's standing there holding Paul's head, severed head. She's completely nude, and she's a boy. Like she's but she's also pulling like ludicrous sort of face. I don't know if they had like a weird model of a. So the guy goes, the officer goes, "She's a boy," sort of. She's more like a cave boy because she looks like, Neanderthal looking. It looks like they've got a statue of a Neanderthal boy from an exhibit, and they were like, "Angela, pull that face because we need you to do that face as well." It's a weird, weird scene, but it's effective.
That's where the scene ends, right? And Ben, you're the one that was looking at this fresh. What was your reaction at that moment?
Were you pulling the same face as Felicia Rose?
I mean, like, it was quite... I mean, it is a horrific face. I mean, I was definitely unnerved by it. But I don't know, because this reveal happened, you know, everyone was laughing, everyone was moving in the screen. Oh, my God, can you believe it? I was a bit like, what the fuck's going on? You know what I mean? What's going on? Like, as far as I remember, I mean, there was definitely a penis, but was it like there was a big bush of pubic hair as well? Was that right?
Yeah,
so I imagine that.
I think she had a bit of chest hair. She looked a bit like a little monkey child thing. Like it didn't even look like a
normal kid. Yeah. I was confused more so than anything. I mean, like the reveal, I kind of understood when he said, "Oh, we've already got a boy." That just was it. What did he say? "We've already got a boy." That won't do. And I was a bit like, I was still a bit like, what? Because even the kid actor at that point was a girl. What?
Yeah. Felicia Rose is a girl. She's a woman.
No, but I mean the kid actor in that flashback.
They're kind of twin. They look very similar. But
there was a boy and a girl, but yeah, I think it might have been. He has like a bandage on, so you can't see the hair. I think it might have been the little boy, but I can't be sure.
I was confused, and I think because everyone's making noise, I didn't hear anyone say in the film, "My God, she's a boy." Do you know what I mean?
The Fonz says it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but like I was baffled.
There's a Chipolata on view in that scene, and then she grumbles as well. But it's like an animalistic sort of
Why is she insane?
Why is she insane? Why has she got superhuman strength? Why is she going?
Well, the superhuman strength thing is a bit weird, but I think she's messed up. There's a few things where throughout the film there's like weird flashbacks with her and her brother sort of. Her brother's going to touch her on the chest or something. There's another scene where they're watching their gay dads make love in the bed. There's loads of weird scenes like that. And also she gets knocked in the head. So like she's wearing when she gets bandages on her head, so obviously she's been knocked in the head pretty bad. Yeah. So like there's
a bit messed up. Some of the faults are sort of saying, oh, you've got two gay dads, you're going to be messed up. Or you've been you're a boy, but you've been raised as a girl, you're going to be messed up. So like there are things that wouldn't fly in 2019.
I mean, who's to say though, Ben, scientifically, if both of those things didn't happen and you're in a boat accident, under those very specific circumstances, you might, just maybe, end up...
going on a killing spree when you're age like 12 or something now, very old she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting film. Trivia. So, have you got some... Sorry, who's giving the trivia at this point?
As I said, at the end of the screening, me and Andy sat down with Ty Singh and Alice Taylor Matthews to discuss the history of Bristol Bad Film Club, but also we asked Alice to give us some trivia questions.
She's a real horror buff.
She's a horror buff, and she loves this film, and she's a comedian as well. Is that correct?
She is.
She does do comedy. So, so she gave us the trivia. So are you ready, Luke, for the special edition of Sleepaway Camp Bristol Bath Film Club horror trivia?
I'm ready.
Okay. Some of these things you've touched upon already, but question one.
What was Angela's face made of at the end of the movie? Such a hard question. What was her face made of? What's his name?
Answer, Luke.
What was her face made of, Luke?
Yeah, Luke. Get it right, for God's sake.
Because it's like the plasticine model caveman boy thing. I would say like paper mache or something.
I mean, the paper mache? The answer to this is so specific that even if you got like one word of it right, I would have given you the point. But however,
is paper or mache not one of those words?
No, it's a not even potato. Mache. No, not mache or there's a potato chip fin. I don't know what that's needed. A potato chip fin glass mask with glass eyes tinted pink, and they basically put it on a college kid. They gave him $50 and beer to like be naked, and obviously masked. And apparently he's never come forward and said, "Look, it was me. I was the naked college kid, and that's my Chipolata."
But he's in the background of one of the earlier scenes. Alice was saying,
"Yeah."
Interesting. Okay.
So, unfortunately, Luke, that's incorrect.
I was going to say mash fin with glass mask. Whatever I just said. Glass eyes, tinted pink. I just said the tip of my tongue.
Hang on a minute. How thin is this mask? Well, I can't tell. It's probably about as thin as an Oreo. No, it's thinner than that. It's potato chip thin.
Biscuit thin. Chip thin.
Biscuit thin. Well, it could be any biscuit.
Digestive things.
Question two, Luke. You ready?
Yeah.
Ed French did the special effects for this movie, the practical effects. Name any other movie or TV show he's worked on.
Is it the other Sleepaway Camp movies?
No.
Okay. Let me go again. It'll be What's that fucking slashing thing? No, that was
You're right.
No, I don't know. Cause everyone, I keep going to the films that what's his name did. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, let's go to Alice for the answer.
I can't list them all now, but like the main ones are like Terminator 2, Creepshow 2. He worked on Buffy and House.
Do you mean House the horror film or House with Hugh Laurie?
House with Hugh Laurie. Right, well, I mean, like, he specialises in like gory, like wounds and stuff. So,
Cool.
That's interesting. The House thing. But what was the first one Alice said there?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. I would never have guessed. But I guess that's more of a big team. So maybe Eric was part of a team. Yeah. I don't know.
It's good work.
Yeah.
Okay, question three.
Yeah.
Undeniably, Judy is amazing, but who was almost cast as her?
These are so hard.
Stone Cold Bitch number one.
these are hard, but you know, it's not down to me.
Who was almost cast? What? Out of everyone? Like, there's a whole lot. There's like 7 billion people.
But it's only going to be the women. I've taken 50% of that out.
Jennifer Aniston. I don't know. It could be fucking. Is it Jennifer Aniston?
Let's give you a clue.
It's not Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer
Aniston, famous for the TV show Friends.
Oh yeah, and that.
Think like sitcom. Is it sitcom? Yeah, think sitcom American around about that time.
Yeah. Okay. So it was what's the name from Veep? It was what's the name from Veep?
A woman was the lead.
Oh shit! Okay.
A woman was the lead. And it was set in a... Well, that's too easy, isn't it?
Grace. Will and Grace. Grace from Will and Grace.
Yeah. She later married Harrison Ford. Not the woman who was almost Judy, but I'm trying to... I'm confusing matters by trying to get you onto the right TV show. I'm just going to reveal it. We're going to reveal it, Luke. Sorry.
All right.
It was Jane Krasowski. Am I saying that right? Krasowski.
Of Ally McBeal.
Of Ally McBeal. Oh, right. Lindsay Rock, yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt fame.
Yes.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
30 Rock.
I would never have said it, but if you said like 30 Rock, I might have got it.
Oh, she's in 30 Rock as well. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Sorry, I've never seen 30 Rock, so it's my.
Oh, she's good in that.
Question four.
Yes, please.
How did Robert Herzig? Again, am I saying that right? Because I'm dyslexic. I just read people's names. I have no idea.
I mean, there's a Z in there. There are some R's.
Robert Herzig. how did he fund this movie?
How did Robert Herzig fund this movie?
Check. I don't know. He paid for himself, right? So
check.
PayPal. Probably had some Bitcoin savings. Who knows?
Oh, it's a clue for you. It was a tragedy.
Oh, so I'm guessing he's had a death in the family, an inheritance.
Yes! Correct, Luke.
You've done it.
His mum.
Only got one.
His mum passed away and left him 300K.
So the film is dedicated in fond memory of mum, Adua, and that is because his mum unfortunately passed away when he was just before he made this and left him $300,000.
Great mum. She was Adua. Good time.
She was Adua.
I don't know how she made that money, but
doing things.
Doing so many things.
Yeah. I hope he's made money from this film. I feel like he deserved
it. Made a lot.
It grossed 11 million, I think.
What was it? Did it say it beat at the box office?
That's too much. Less than that. I wish he made less than that. That's too much. But he's a lawyer right now. Is that the next question?
No, but I did hear that because Bristol Bad Film Club were putting this film on for charity, that it was him they got in touch with to do the screening, and he waived the screening fee because it was for charity. So... A nice guy.
Yeah, good guy, Robert. He works in family law and divorce law, I think, now. I saw his ratings on his Yelp ratings. No, he was like an employer ratings for the firm he works for. I think he's a named partner, so he's...
Do you want to do the bloody trivia, Luke?
Go on.
He's doing good work.
What is the kill count?
not Mr. Boiled Pedo. So not him.
He doesn't die. No.
And not bees, the people at the start in the boat accident.
No. Bees, knife, arrow. Straighteners. Two get axed. Maybe I think it's two. One gets beheaded. And I'm missing one. I can't remember. I'm gonna say eight.
It's 10, Luke.
No, I think you're mistaken there.
There were some kids, if you remember, the kids who threw sand, there was like four of them.
But I thought two of them went off to...
They all got mashed up in the thing.
That makes sense.
Don't go...
I went conservative.
Don't go bloody arguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went...
Don't argue now that she knows her stuff.
Okay.
There we go. Thank you very much for the trivia, Alice. Luke, you got just a 1 out of 5. But considering they're so difficult,
we give you 5 out of 5.
I think you did well to get 1 out of 5. So
A plus.
So you've got 5 out of 5 in your heart, effort. But in
five
your brain,
out of five. In effort. But in reality, it was 1. but for me, it's 5. Okay, cool. Alison and sorry, I didn't quite catch his first. The other guy's name,
Ty.
Ty, where can we find out more about those guys and what they're doing?
So Bristol Bad Film Club. So basically internet, yeah. So we've got bristolbadfilmclub.co.uk is where you can find them on Twitter. I think they're
BBFC.
Yep.
Nice.
And on Facebook, Bristol Bad Film Club, and yeah, like monthly events. So yeah, if you're interested in that, get involved. It was a rollicking good time. The first time I'd gone, and I'd definitely go again.
They got some good screenings coming up towards the end of the year. Their Christmas film in particular looks fantastic. And they've got Deathbed on at Halloween as well, which is about a bed which eats people.
Deathbed, the bed that eats.
Is that a guy with like skeleton hands? Is that Deathbed?
There was definitely a skeleton in the trailer.
Because I think a woman got turned into a skeleton. Because today I was looking at a film called Deathbed, and there was a guy with skeleton hands.
I reckon that might be it, Luke.
How random is that? Yeah.
Get yourself down to Bristol for Halloween. You can watch that in person.
Cool. Okay, so we'll wrap it up because I've got to pick up someone doing yoga. Don't know who they are. Just got to pick them up, and they're quite heavy, so I need to put some time into it, which I've built into it. Andy's got some pizza to eat that's cooling in the oven. Ben has got to. What are you going to do, Ben?
Oh, I've got loads of stuff to do, mate, and I, but it's none of your business, right?
There you go. Okay.
My alone time.
But before all that, we need to rate the film. I haven't even thought about this. Yeah. I haven't thought about it. I'm going to off the cuff it.
I think, you know, it's fun. The first time I've seen it, I had a good time. Maybe my love for the film was improved by the fact I watched it with a crowd of people. But I would give it a solid B. For
Bravo.
Bloody good.
Yeah.
Bloody good. Bloody good.
For boy.
Okay,
yeah.
Yep.
What about you, Andy?
I still love this movie. I know objectively it's bad, but you know what? Fuck it, B+. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with B+ as well. It was a B last time I watched it, but it's gone up a little bit. It's just incremental. Every time you watch it incrementally.
There we go. So do you think it deserves the title of being a bad film, considering it was shown at the Bristol Bad Film Club?
I could see why they put it on, but you know, it raises awareness for films that aren't actually that bad, or improve because of their badness, are good because of their badness, if that makes sense. Anti-heroes of films, you could say.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it, guys listening in, go. We've spoiled it now. Yeah, go watch it anyway. You will still find things to enjoy. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Okay, great stuff.
Andy. At what's your Twitter handle? At Andy
SuperAndyT83.
SuperAndyT83. Ben is at Ben _ Errington 03.
Yeah.
I'm
just
at
Ben.
Oh.
At Ben _ Errington.
Oh, okay. That's your email address.
Okay. And your street address is.
Luke, for God's sake.
Oh,
I'm at 8 Morn Crescent. I'm at Luke of Condor on Twitter. That's Condor UK. And yeah, so this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovach Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Go and grab a t-shirt, a Horror Hangout t-shirt from HawkandCleaver.com. Come and join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks again to everyone to comments and, you know, gets involved in all that. But thanks to my co-hosts, Ben and Andy, for being right horror dudes.
See you later, guys.
All right. See you
in a bit. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.